Good to sing, and thank you. May be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, it's been a couple weeks now, took a break for the Thanksgiving time, and looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 through 26, we'll read these verses tonight, and looking at some lessons here about being Spirit-filled. And you hear that term about being filled with the Spirit. Everyone that is saved has a Holy Spirit living inside of them, all right? Every single person that's saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but being controlled by the Spirit and having the power of the Spirit upon your life, now that's the next step of Christianity in our life. And I hope and I pray and desire that every Christian would desire that God would control your life. Amen? When I control my life, it does not turn out very good, right? Because we're sinners, we're flesh, we have a sinful nature. We'll see the works of the flesh here tonight. But when you are led by the Spirit, when you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, isn't that a blessing when you see someone, you go, man, they are like Christ. Amen? They're filled with the Spirit. They have the power of God upon their life. And you can't always really pinpoint it to this is exactly how I know that. But you know when you've been around someone that you know they're walking with God. You know that they are led by the Spirit and God is controlling their life. And I pray and desire that God would fill and use my life and I'd be controlled by the power of the Spirit, not some days, but every day. And that should be our desire tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. By the way, pray for my voice. The cold that you get, just never wants to go away, and my throat has been a struggle. And so if you don't pray for me, it'll be a really short message. I don't know why you're laughing, but pray for my voice and just struggling through that. I have a fear I'm going to get in the pulpit and start to preach and then start coughing and not be able to stop. And then what do you do? You know, hey, you take over, you know, tag team. Hope you can read the notes and understand what we're talking about here. And so help me with that if you would please. Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So those are the two options we have. Walk in the Spirit or fulfilling the lust of the flesh. There is no other option. It is one or it is the other. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And that is similar to the passage in the book of Romans where Paul said, "The things that I would, I do, not the things that I would, I don't do." And it's the whole tongue twister of, I want to do right, but man, I fail and I struggle sometimes. Are you like that sometimes as well? Give me an amen, so I'm not all by myself, all right? And you're like, I want to live right. I want God to control my what I say and what I think and what I do, but man, I just seem like I fail. And if we are led by the flesh, it says you cannot do the things that you would, the things that are right. But in verse 18, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or they're made known or shown, which are these. These are the works of the flesh. You don't want these in your life. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We don't want the works of the flesh in our life. We were at the rescue mission service last night. We had some basketball and volleyball games, and Brother Seth and I drove over there real quick, and we had the service there. And to be honest, there's a lot of the works of the flesh that are manifested. They're made known, and it's sad. I look at that, and I hope that you have compassion and pity, and we preach the gospel, and they're trying to help them there in ways, but there's a lot of that works of the flesh is just made known. It's all over people's lives and clothes and body. Hey, Christian, that's where we could be if we allow the flesh to take over in our lives. And just so you know, not all that are living in the flesh end up there. Some of them are living in mansions and nice houses and holding jobs, but just the life is a mess because the flesh has overtaken their lives or our lives if we're not careful. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is where we want to be, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's where we want to be, to crucify the flesh, to do away with it. It will never completely go away, but that should be our desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, please bless this message and speak to us through the Word of God. It's such an important passage that we need in our lives. Help us to understand the importance of walking in the Spirit and having the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I preached through the verses longer, so I've got to get through the rest of the message quicker. But I pray that you, again, desire to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Too many times we say, well, I want to love more. I'm just going to try to love people more. You know, the world tries to do that. More love, more kindness, more compassion. But they're trying to do it without Christ. Right? And if you see this in verse number 16, this I say, then walk in the, capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Verse number 18, but if you are led of the what? Spirit. Verse number 22, but the fruit of the what? Spirit. In verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, I'm going to go through this quickly. Number one, you must, first of all, live in the Spirit. You know that you're saved, child of God. You say, we're in church tonight, it's Wednesday night. You must know that you're saved and you're a child of God, not your way, but God's way. You, again, the world is trying to manufacture the fruit of the Spirit in their life. They want joy. They're working at trying to love more. Oh, just love and acceptance. That's not the love of God, right? Just more kindness and acceptance of the way that we are. That's not the love of Christ. It's not. To have the love of God, it's pure, it's holy. All right, God's holiness does not accept sin. They're trying to manufacture the fruit of the Spirit, but you can't do without being a child of God. And number one, you must live in the Spirit, saved child of God. Number two, if you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, you must also walk in the Spirit. In verse number 16, once you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling, living inside of you, but do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, that comes from walking with God. You must spend time daily in Bible reading and prayer for the Holy Spirit to control your life. Without it, you will never have the fruit of the Spirit shown in your life, controlling in your life. It just won't happen. Many Christians think, well, if I go to church, I'm spiritual. If I own a lot of Bibles, I'm spiritual. If I tithe, I'm spiritual. Those are all obedient things to do, but it doesn't make you a spiritual person. And so you must walk in the Spirit, and then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Have a time, have a place, have a plan, and walk with God, and pray that God speaks to your heart every day. You ever gone through your Bible time, and you got through a few verses, and God just smote your heart? You start reading a chapter, maybe, and you think, I need to read that again, and I need to read it again. And you want God to speak to your heart. But also, if you've been in the place where you started reading your Bible and you got done and you thought, I have absolutely no idea what I just read. You were here, and your mind was in another place, another world. And you, God, I want you to speak to my heart. That should be our desire. To have the fruit of the Spirit, you must live in the Spirit, you must walk in the Spirit. Verse number 18, you must be led by the Spirit. It says, if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Saved, walking with God, and then I want God to lead my life. I want God to guide me. That's submitting and humbly coming before God and saying, God, I want you to control my words, my eyes, my thoughts, my hands, my feet, my heart, everything, God. I want you to guide me today. I want you to lead me. We could give the illustration how many times that we get leading the way, and we say, God, get in line behind me. God, you want me to do this, right? This is right. And we're like, oh, forgive me. And it's almost like God's trying to catch up and trying to put his hand over your mouth like you do with your child before they talk. Don't say that. Don't go there. You're going to hurt yourself. And they're running ahead, but they're not being led. They're taking off on their own. You want God to lead you. And wherever God goes, you follow him. And you take that step. And if Christ would not go there, don't go there. Amen? Really simple. If Christ would not say that, well, don't say it. If he would not think that, don't think that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being led by the Spirit. And then we see after those, the product is having the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is the byproduct of being saved, walking with God, and being led by the Lord. So I'm going to try to love more. No. Try to be walking with God and submitting to God more. And then the fruit of the Spirit will come after that. It's the byproduct of walking with God. In this country, we want, you know, people that can work and don't want to work. And they say, just send me my paycheck every month. No. The Bible says if a man does not work, neither should he eat, right? We want what everyone else has, but we don't want to work the work to get there. Oh, you should give me that car because I deserve it. No, I don't deserve that, right? You know, and again, sometimes, I want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, but are you willing to do the work so that God will give you that, the byproduct, the fruit of the Spirit? My in-laws asked if we'd look after the garden, and it's their pet. It's their project, you know. How's the garden doing, you know? Sometimes I'll send them pictures and FaceTime, and, you know, they want to see the garden, you know. So I went over there, and I'm checking on the tomatoes and the onions and the broccoli and the, don't raid the garden, and the lettuce, and I was picking some of that. Guess what? I didn't plant any of it. I didn't pay for any of it. But I trimmed some of it and took some of it home. We got some of the produce, the fruit. I didn't do any of the labors from it. Again, many times we want the fruit that comes from it, but we want the labors to actually plant it and to take care of those as well. Fruit of the Spirit, it starts out with this. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the next word? Verse number 22, I didn't tell you that, I'm sorry. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Do you believe that God, that we have an every word of God Bible? Right? Every word of God is pure, perfect, in its place, for a purpose and for a reason. Right? That's why we don't change the Bible. Number one on the list is love. You think that's an accident? No, that's on purpose. I am really behind, so we're going to keep going here. That word love is the word agape love. Agape love is different from other types of love. We won't get into all those tonight. But the agape love is love that is goodwill, benevolence, willful delight, in the object of love. Agape love involves faithfulness, commitment. It's an act of the will. It's a choice to love. You choose to love. For instance, for God so loved the world. Is it because we're deserving of His love? Is it because we're lovely all the time, right? No, it's not because of that, because God chose to love. That's why in your marriage, you don't love just because when you feel like it. You make a commitment to love your spouse, to love your children. Why? Because you're not always going to feel like it, are you? You don't have to, I know you're sitting next to your spouse maybe, but you don't always feel like it. You're like, I'm supposed to love you, but I don't really like you right now, okay? But God chooses to love. I want to challenge you to read three passages of Scripture. I'd encourage you to write them down. Three passages of Scripture about the subject of love. We can't go into full in-depth on this tonight. Three passages are this. The book of 1 John. I love reading the book of 1 John. God is love. Amen? If you don't love, it's because you don't know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Such an incredible, beautiful picture of the love of God. The closer you get to God, the more you know the love of God, and then the more you have the love of God in your life. 1 John, really the whole book. It's five chapters, but there's a few in the middle there that focus on that. The next one is 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter on love, or it uses the word charity. It's also agape love referenced there as well. 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what, church? It's charity, right? And so it tells you what love is and what it isn't. Love is patient, kind, all the things that it is. The third passage is Ephesians chapter 5, how Christ gave himself for the church. It's a picture of a husband is to lead his family and to love his wife. You put your family before yourself. And so those three passages, I encourage you to read those. We won't have time to read through all of those tonight. The more you understand the love of God, the more you understand the love that we should have for others. I want to ask you four questions tonight. Again, we're not trying to manufacture love in our lives. although we are supposed to love more. But when you walk with God, when you're led, when you are in Christ, saved, you're walking with God, you're led by the Spirit, then you have the love of Christ in your life. Jesus Christ is our perfect example, isn't he? He is our perfect example. You think that he, you know, born to die upon Calvary, he came to die and to pay for the sins of mankind, that he never once committed a sin. What incredible love Christ has shown to us. That's why when you are saved and you know the love that Christ gave to you, that's how you can then take that love when you've been given so much love by Christ. I can take that same love and share that love with others. Four questions tonight, and I'm going to read you passages. If you turn there quickly, we'll get there. Number one is this. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Matthew chapter 22, if you want to turn there quickly. I'm going to start reading, though. Do you love God? It's a test. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life in regards to love? Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer," there comes the lawyers again, "asking him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with,'" what's the next word? "All." That's the key there. "With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So ask yourself this, or ask God, do I have the love of God in my life? Do I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind? Well, I don't think anyone could truly say, "I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind." We're sinners, we're flesh, right? But to love properly, to have the fruit of the Spirit of love, is to love God first in your life. See, the world gets this very much out of order. Even Christians get this out of order. They say, "Oh, love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. Oh, love God." They kind of switch it. You love God first, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. We'll get there in a minute. But do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Well, how do I have the love of God in my life more? When you're saved and you walk with God. See, the more you spend time with God, the more you realize how much God loves you. You realize the example that Christ gave to you in your life, how we should love properly. The closer I get to God, the more I love God more. Amen? Should be the same with your spouse, your children, others. The more time you spend with them, the more you love them. The same with the Lord. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you don't, you do not have the fruit of the Spirit. God must be number one in your life. He doesn't want second or third or fourth. We love God first. The Bible says this is the first and great commandment. Next question is this. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Number two, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You ask yourself, do I have the love of God? Do I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind? Number two, do I love my neighbor as myself? The next verse, the second, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why do you think God says that? To love your neighbor as yourself? No one has to tell me to be selfish. No one has to tell me to take care of myself. My wife helps me with that too, but I know how to put me first. But God says we should put our neighbor, put God first, put your neighbor second. You've heard it. How do you have joy? Jesus, others, yourself. You put your neighbor in front of you. The Bible says on these two hang all the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets is the word of God. The whole Bible is centered around, do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Everything comes underneath those two categories. Every single commandment, instruction in the Bible. In Luke chapter 10, another lawyer came and stood up before the Lord and he said, "Master, how do we inherit eternal life?" God said, "You love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, your neighbor as yourself." It says this, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Kind of like Peter. Who do I have to forgive? How much do I have to forgive? Right? We like to justify I don't have to love them. I'm not going to point at you. I'm not doing that. But, "And who is my neighbor?" Do I have to love them? And Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this man that was beaten, Rob left naked on the side of the road, and the priest and the Levite came and they walked on the other side. They didn't want to bother with this lowly man with his problems. The Samaritan man came and cared for him and took care of him. And he said in the end of that passage, now who was his neighbor? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? You say, well, who am I supposed to love? Look around. You say, everybody? Yes. Does God love everyone? Is there anyone that God does not love? No. Is there anything that you can do to make God to stop loving you? Think about that for a minute. There is nothing you can do to get out from under the love of God. Now, we can get away from God's blessings, for sure, but there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. What about other people? Could someone do something to you where you'd stop loving them? You say, I would never talk to them, see them. I'd never witness to them. I'd never pray for them or care for them. Well, then you don't have the love of Christ in your life. Who is my neighbor? Your spouse, your children, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, everyone that you pass, to love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because Christ loves them, didn't he? Amen. He loves them, and so we are to love them as well. Do you have the love that comes from God? See, if you don't love, then you're going to have the works of the flesh. What are those? Hatred, wrath, strife, among others. The Bible says in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? If ye have love one to another. How do people know that you're a Christian? That you love your neighbor as Christ would love them. That's how you are. That's how you show others that you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, that you love others, not just those that love you in return. We'll get to that point in a little bit. But you love others the way that Christ loves them. He'd stop and he'd care for any single person to help them, to witness, to pray, whatever it may be. Next one. Next is this, number three. Do you love your enemies? To have the fruit of the Spirit is to love. Do you love your enemies? Say, well, I can love God, yes, because God is perfect. I can love my neighbor, you know, my spouse, my children, you know, friends, family, others, but not that one person, right? But not those type of people. We could put some labels out tonight to where Christians have a hatred, I believe, towards other people that have different beliefs. Now, I don't love the sin, right? Christ never loves the sin, but he loves the sinner. You know the difference, right? Not accepting of sin. But where Christians have become hateful towards certain people, right? To love your enemies. It kind of hits home here, okay? In Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn there quickly, verse number 43, I think you were already in the book of Matthew. It says, ye have heard, in Matthew 5, 43, have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. I encourage you to underline these points here. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to say, right? This I say to you, love your enemies, number one. Bless them that curse you. Do you really want to bless people that curse you? No. Our flesh wants to curse those that curse us, doesn't it? Oh, it does. It says in then number three, do good to them that hate you. Someone that hates you and wants to hurt you, you're supposed to do good to them? We are. And the Bible says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You can read on further. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. It says, I'm going to read here, I didn't have the verses written down here, the numbers. It says, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? To have the love of Christ is to love your enemies. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross to those that crucified him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was showing perfect love even to those that took his life. Lastly tonight, do you love the world? See, to have the fruit of the Spirit, let me ask you this, do you love the world? 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can either love God or the things of this world. You cannot have both. Many times as Christians, we're trying to make them both work. I want to have God here and the world here, and we're going to try to marry them and put them together. It does not work, right? That's the area of separation in our lives that we must have. You loving God or the things of this world. So it's a test. Do you, number one, do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Number two, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Number three, do you love your enemies? Then number four, do you love the world? The world is constantly trying to grab your attention and your affection. Do you love the things of this world? Christian, let me ask you this tonight. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Do you have the fruit of love in your life? You're like, man, I really need more of the fruit of love, the fruit of the Spirit of love, that byproduct of love in my life. Go back to the beginning. Am I saved? Am I walking with God? Am I led by the Spirit? And then am I producing the fruit that comes from those? But remember this, only God can produce the fruit of the Spirit, not you and not me. We are constantly trying to manufacture God working in our lives, in our churches, in our families, where only God can do that. See, to have the power of God and the Spirit of God resting upon you in your life, you must be walking with Him, submitted to Him, and that God would control you. See, I want to love more. Start walking with God more. The closer you get to Christ, the more you'll know the love of God. The more you love your spouse the way you should. The more you love your children the way you should. Your coworkers, your boss, your neighbors, people around you. Because God's love will be shown through you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord. In this